Well, Dennis Bradley's my name. I'm originally from Donegal, but I now live in Derry.
And you're living here how many years?
Oh, don't ask me those questions. Those are absolutely ridiculous. You wouldn't ask a woman that, so you're not going to ask me. I've been here since I was 12 years of age, so I'm here a long time. The big thing about Bloody Sunday was, well, obviously the core of that was the 14 people who died and a lot of people who were injured. But it happened to within in the sight and in the feeling of a complete community of people. You know, you're talking about thousands of people witnessing something. This was not just, you know, a bomb that went off somewhere and nobody saw it. This was people over a short period of time, certainly, but visually and emotionally incredibly powerful, in that they saw actual people being killed, shot down in front of them by troops, by army, by very soldiery soldiers, in the sense that it wasn't just ordinary soldiers. There's a difference between paratroops and soldiers. The memories of people who were there and the people who, I suppose, were affected by it in the sense of the families, that's one strain. But there's also the strain then of what happened afterwards, which was Widgery. So you have another kind of layer upon the actual deaths and the shootings themselves, which was the layer of a government handling a situation in a conflict situation to their own devices rather than to the actual reality of the event itself.
And then only relatively recently the truth emerges.
Well, then you had the whole fight and the offer and that going on for years and years and years. And the truth of the matter is that it's very hard to keep a group of people together concentrating on one particular thing. But the families managed to stay together. And they stayed together despite the fact that slaughter went on elsewhere. You know, the war went on elsewhere and other horrible things happening like Good Friday or Bloody Friday and all, you know, Le Monde and horrible, horrible things happening on the other side. But they stayed with it and weren't diverted because people would have said, you know, why does this stand out? But it does stand out for a whole lot of reasons. It stands out because I think that the march itself, even though it was supposedly an anti-internment march, I think it was two things was happening. Because today, funny enough, in Derry, there's the commemoration of two policemen who were shot 3 or 4 days by the IRA before Bloody Sunday. But actually, I think that the march was a reclaiming of the streets of the city. It was a reclaiming both from the British and from the IRA. And I think most people, the thousands of people who turned up, some may have turned up because they were being angry with the British Army or they were being angry with the British government, but many of them turned up because they were being angry with the IRA. So there was a kind of a... Remember that Hume was on the Strand at McGilligan the week before and hadn't been treated particularly well, again with a lot of people, and were treated in an undignified and in a sassy kind of arrogant fashion, and that brought people onto the streets. So you had the effort to claim back the kind of the non-violent way and the political protest and the civil rights movement. And the truth of the matter is that I remember that night going out with a friend of mine, another priest who was on the streets that day too, and both of us deciding that the civil rights movement had been killed as well as the 13 or 14 people.
That is interesting, because when you look at the legacy, and obviously the legacy for the families was horrendous and a lifetime of hurt and pain and heartache, but the political legacy as well, and the legacy of violence that sprang from Bloody Sunday, if you like. There's no denying the fact that Bloody Sunday unleashed a torrent of violence long after the event.
Yeah, I wrote a small piece for one of the local papers the other day, and two things happened in writing it. Well, three things happened, really. A French crew came along who had interviewed me 50 years ago, and they had some of this transcript in French, which kind of shocked me, 50 years. That was one of the things. The second thing that shocked me was how, in the middle of the interview, I broke down and cried. And that, it didn't shock me, but it kind of surprised me that how deep those feelings go. But the third thing in the article was that myself and this friend, young priest who at the time who walked the streets at night, met a lot of young people, and the anger among the young people. And I said in the article, which was that, you know, despite the wisdom, I suppose, and despite the truth of that violence only begets violence, and that, you know, an eye for an eye just results in blindness, that despite that, it was clear that it was going to be very hard to regain the streets, to retake the streets, to regain the momentum of what was being actually sought, and that violence was going to have its way. And once violence has its way, it's very hard to stop it. But it doesn't make it right, but it's very hard to stop it.
And Derry today, Dennis, is that landscape, are those streets still contested?
No. There's a small group of dissident IRA who think that they contest them, but they're a stone in the shoe rather than actually anything else. They're just an annoyance. And they don't really own the streets. There's a big argument at the moment about down south, I'm very aware of it, about, you know, is the IRA still in existence? No. And I mean, I've been vice chairman of the policing board in Northern Ireland, and I've heard that, you know, this goes back a few years now, but, you know, the IRA is still in existence. I mean, there's no presence of the IRA, there's no feel of the IRA in Derry. There is no IRA in Derry. Now, what there are, is there's still a good few people who are in the IRA, but it's a false argument when it comes to this thing about who controls the streets of Derry. The streets of Derry are controlled by the people and by the police.
How will you mark this weekend, finally?
I will go to all the... I always went to the 11 o'clock service, a kind of prayer service at 11 o'clock down at Roswell Street, and I will go to that.
It must have made a huge impact on you.
Well, it did, because I was there, I saw what happened. I kind of did make a bit of a promise to myself that I would stay with it to see some kind of recognition of what the horror of what was done. So I saw Widgery, and I went to Widgery, and then I saw Savile come, and I saw all of that. But I did see the effects of Bloody Sunday. I saw not just the effects of the violence, because that was horrible, but then the ongoing inability of politics to gather itself together to actually tackle this. And it could only ever be tackled by two governments, really. And that took years and years and years to achieve. So there was wasted years throughout that violence. Now, it may not have been easy and never was going to be easy, but I would contest the thing that it was impossible. I think we could have done better politically. And I think that, you know, we will examine there's big calls at the moment for an examination of COVID, you know, and how we handle COVID. I think that we should politically look at how we handled the troubles in the north of Ireland, that the two governments should look at that. There's never really been a proper analysis of that. And I think that's poor politics, because I do think that there's a lot to be learned out of these types of situations. And politics demeans itself by actually not taking itself seriously enough.